Won't you be kind and considerate in everything you do? Every little kindness finds its way right back to you.
A quarter of a century after it was first published, Do I Have to Say Hello? Aunt Delia's Manners Quiz for Kids and Their Grown-Ups is back. And the world looks different. Where previously a kid and a parent's main worry might be how to behave at a birthday party or what to do with your napkin, now there are video games, the internet, and social media to navigate as well. But some things don't change, like how to give compliments, how to be a gracious loser, and how to eat your peas properly. Aunt Delia will have pointers for all of these and more. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, November 12th. We will wonder if you think kids and grown-ups are better mannered now or in the past. And we'll wonder if you have any manner pet peeves. What do you do when you see a manner violation? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Delia Ephron, a novelist, a screenwriter, the author of books of humor, including Do I Have to Say Hello? Aunt Delia's Manners Quiz for Kids and Their Grown-Ups. Her movies include The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants and You've Got Mail. You've heard of those, among others. Her journalism work has appeared frequently in the New York Times and also in Vogue and Vanity Fair. Good morning, and thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning. How's everything out there?
Everything's going pretty well, pretty well. Why did you decide it was time for an update on Do I Have to Say Hello?
Oh, my gosh. Well, yes, video game manners, and I guess, let's see what else. All sorts of things. Soccer manners. I felt there was a serious need for help on the soccer field for both parents and kids. And things that were relevant before, like how to answer the family phone, just wasn't relevant anymore. But I think actually, look, I'm really interested in making kids laugh. That's my favorite thing to do in the world. But I think we really need to be more civil.
Yeah.
And if we can teach kids their manners, and I actually think things are a little bit worse. Well, language is worse.
You know, and I'm sorry, Delia, let me see if I can get Christy Taylor, my producer, to reconnect with you to see if we can get a better phone line. All of a sudden, it's cracking up and we're not hearing you very well. So let me remind listeners that we are talking with Delia Ephron. She is the author of Do I Have to Say Hello? Aunt Delia's Manners Quiz for Kids and Their Grown-Ups. And this book is it is a quiz, and it's funny, and there's a lot of great illustrations as well, drawings by Edward Corin, and it talks about table manners, and thank you manners, and school manners, and soccer manners, and yes, some of our video game and social media manners. And I'm wondering if you have a question that you want to pose, or if you have a manner violation that you'd like to expose. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. All right, we have re-established contact with our guests, so let me welcome back Delia Ephron, and let's see if that sounds a little better. Good morning again.
How does it sound now?
Much better. There we go.
It does.
So, and we were just talking about, tell me what you think. Do you think kids' manners have improved or declined in the 25 years since you first wrote Do I Have to Say Hello?
Well, I wrote this book because my nephew had absolutely terrible manners, and I went to pick him up at the airport, and instead of saying hello, he said, or giving me a big hug and a kiss, he said, "Take me to the baseball card store, Aunt Delia." So on the way home in the car, I invented this manners quiz, which, you know, your aunt comes to meet you at the airport. Do you say, take me to the baseball card store, or do you give her a big hug and a kiss, and or do you burp? And I would just put as many crazy answers in, and he was hysterical by the time we got home. And it, so I just invented this. I would play it with him all the time at dinner. You know, you want some more corn. Do you say, please pass the corn? Do you say, yo, corn? So,
and the, and talk a little bit about why you did it in that format as a quiz with goofy answers.
Well, I always think that laughing is the way to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I can make a child laugh, I'm the happiest person in the world. And if you can teach manners. I mean, first of all, let's say he always picked the wrong answer on purpose. And that would just make him fall off his chair. And but he knew what the right answer was. So it was just, I mean, actually, I just have to say he has absolutely beautiful manners. He's grown up now, and he is, you know, a spectacularly polite person. So I take full credit for this.
Way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And laughter is always the way to go with children.
Yeah, but do you think that nephews of today are just like your nephew, or is it a little worse or better?
Well, do you have nephews?
I do. I have many nephews, and I would say that it's hard for me to compare. But I think that it might be a lot different with my nephews and nieces than it was when I was a child. At least 50 years ago, it certainly seems different.
Well, there are bigger challenges in certain ways. I certainly think video games, which are so compelling, you know, so addictive. And if your aunt calls you to the table and you're playing Minecraft, do you actually take it to the table and try and play it on your lap while you eat, or do you put it away? I mean, there are all sorts of new problems, which was why I wanted to redo the book. But I think parents care about manners, but there is this thing about, I hear this often from parents, let's go home, okay? Like the okay at the end of the sentence, which is, you know, please, can I have your permission to go home?
Right, and they're asking their children this.
Yeah, yeah, right. You hear that okay a lot. And I just think I also think the world is wilder than ever. And I actually think civility and kindness, because I talk about things like not just manners. I mean, I think of manners as things like how do you teach kindness, how do you polite, what's conversation, what's all those kinds of things. I mean, what's appropriate to talk about at the dinner table, what you did at work today, or stink bombs. You know, there's a kind of way I think we need to be more social and respectful. And so I believe it matters more than ever, actually. And I think that those simple things lead people to treat people better as they get older.
Yeah. And you know what I've noticed just in the last few years, not the last 25 years, but the last few years, and I'm guilty of it myself, is I'm on that phone all the time, and more than I should be. And so I'm at a family gathering, and maybe we're watching a football game, or you know, we're eating, and people have their phones out, and they're looking, they're checking Facebook, or they're looking to see how their fantasy football league is doing. And maybe the adults are modeling the wrong behavior for their kids.
I think that's true. I mean, actually, one of my pet peeves is when you're having dinner with someone and they take their phone out and hold it under the table.
Yes.
And they think you don't know that. It's like, of course I know you're checking your phone while you're having dinner with me. But one of the things in changing this book, I eliminated the phone chapter, which was about learning to answer the family phone.
Oh, that's
because
different.
Children don't need to take messages anymore. I eliminated the television chapter, actually, because that whole thing about sharing the remote. I mean, actually, children watch much more on their own sort of devices on iPad than they do as a family, unless it's a sports game or some sort of CD everyone's put on the TV. So that there were real changes in the culture that I felt were, you know, important. Also, this is just one of my favorite books, and it had such fantastic Amazon scores, the old book, and I really felt that was sort of one reason my publisher was so interested to do it, because it was a beloved book.
Yeah, and we have just a minute before a news break, and then we have callers who are already lining up. But why do you think it's important to have good manners in this day and age?
I think we all need to respect each other and respect each other's point of view and treat each other graciously. I think we need to know how to do the simplest things in life. I mean, sitting down at the dinner table and having a wonderful meal with someone and knowing, you know, what to do when you do it. And I don't mean which one's the butterknife, you know. Mm-hmm. I really think of it as a much more gracious thing. What do you talk about? You know, how do you help your aunt set the table, or do you say, why doesn't Uncle Jerry do it? I mean, there's a way that we need to be with each other, which is just better and fun and laugh, you know, laughing. I just have to say that the whole point is make kids laugh.
Yeah. And we will laugh about some of the quizzes that you have in the book after we check the latest news. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Delia Efron, who is a screenwriter, a novelist, the author of books of humor, and author of the recently updated Do I Have to Say Hello? Aunt Delia's Manners Quiz for Kids and Their Grown-Ups. We're welcoming your questions for her. We're welcoming any examples you'd like to share of good manners or not so good manners. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And how do you try to convey to youngsters the proper way to mind our P's and Q's? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Delia, you mentioned when we first started, and then we had our phone issue, that one of the areas where you're seeing, one of the reasons you wanted to update the book and where you do have an updated chapter is soccer manners. Why did you see a need for soccer manners?
Oh, my gosh, I think the parents need it as badly as the kids. This is a book for kids and their grown-ups. It's wild at the soccer games for kids. The parents are screaming at the coaches. The kids are, you know, revved up on the field. I mean, I think this is a place that's completely the Wild West. So, I mean, for example, you want to play up front and your coach says, sorry, mate, you're playing left back. What do you say? Okay, coach, got it. My Uncle Jerry says that if you don't let me play forward, he'll have you fired.
That's it, right? No.
Right, yeah, absolutely. But I did a long chapter on soccer manners for girls and boys and their parents, because I just thought it was a place where people seem to just lose their marbles.
Yeah, let's go to Sean in Spooner. Hi, Sean.
Hi. So I play a card game called Magic the Gathering. And recently there was an article that talked about kind of like one-sided matches. So, like, let's say I beat my opponent and it was, like I said, completely one-sided. The article is saying that it's in bad taste or bad manners to say, you know, good game. I'd like to get your opinion on that.
You mean you can't say good game if you slaughtered someone? Is that what you're saying?
They're saying that it's in bad taste because, you know, it might have not been, well, it's kind of like demoralizing to the other person by saying good game.
What is this game, though? Explain the game to me again.
So it's called Magic the Gathering. It's a card game. It's kind of like turn-based. If you have younger nieces and nephews, it'd be like the adult version of Pokemon, I guess.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Right. All right. It seems to me there you have to take the reading in the room. I mean, maybe good game is really a funny thing to say to someone who is a grown-up. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you don't say that. I mean, we're adults, so is this a vicious game? Do people get completely out of control playing it?
It is rather competitive. I will say there's tournaments where there's large amount of money at stake. So, you know, if it is a one-sided game, you know, the person on the other side of the table you know, is genuinely upset.
Well, I guess, yeah, Sean, I'm just curious as to what do you think? Do you think saying good game to somebody who you, you know, really beat the pants off of is polite or not?
In my opinion, yes, but it's all in context. I think that's kind of the biggest thing for the game itself. You know, because if I say good game and I sound really snarky about it, you know, obviously they know that I didn't mean it. But, you know, if I'm genuine about it, you know, I think they should take it as that, you know, a genuine good game.
Well, maybe we can just bring, I know a little bit about that Magic card game from younger nieces and nephews. But, Delia, what about just good sportsmanship in general? What are some guidelines?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think still slapping someone's palm is a really cute thing to do. I think you could probably yell, "I won and you didn't." No, I'm just kidding.
I know, right?
that's the answer you don't want.
I really could see if you were with friends and it was, you know, sort of a smiling, kidding, you know, elbow to the side, a good game, ha-ha. But, you know, if you really are rubbing it in, then it's not very nice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about the person whose ego is so upset by losing one of these games. So I'm, you know, so mystified how important, you know, I just think it's always important to be gracious. Thanks, I really enjoyed playing you, and I hope we play again and you slaughter me. You could say that.
Yeah, that's right. Sean, you know, thank you very much for the
call. Pay me back next time.
Let's go to Marcia now in Sheboygan. Hello, Marcia.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Marcia.
Go ahead, Marcia. What was the example you wanted to share?
It's just that every time I go into the store lately, either the grocery store or even like a Kohl's or whatever, there's always somebody that's a customer talking on the phone while they're trying to pay. And the, you know, cashier is trying to communicate to them, you know, asking questions, how much they owe. And then you also see their children of these people on the phone. Also in there on the phone. So I think we're just losing touch with, you know, communicating while we're out in public with our customer service people.
Yeah, you have a message for people who...
Oh, I completely agree. I just did a piece separate from this book. I did a piece actually for a catalog in Berger of Goodman about texting manners and phone manners, because you're in the checkout. I'm always in the checkout line, and then somebody in front of me is like deciding to answer a text or talk on the phone while they should be paying their bill, and you just want to scream at them. I mean, you get so crazy from it. Is it polite? No, that is not acceptable. I mean, all this phone stuff is, I mean, one reason I wrote this book is because I think kids need to learn this kind of thing early, almost before they're addicted to their phone, what it is to be polite, this is a huge thing. I mean, I'm always, you know, in New York, we always walk everywhere, and people are always walking right into me while they talk on the phone. I'm totally sympathetic to this.
No, Marcia, I am too. And what do you do? I mean, is it polite to say to a person who's, you know, talking on the phone while you're in a checkout line and holding up the line to say, would you mind finishing your conversation because we're all waiting? I mean, or would that be a rude thing to say?
Not in Texas.
It might be a dangerous thing to say in Texas.
Yeah. No, I think you really, I mean, that's one reason why we have to learn it, because it's, you know, I don't think, I mean, me, I really don't have interactions with people I don't know, because, and I think it's better to just lay back on stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think it's tricky.
I think it's good, Marcia, to bring it up on a radio show, then maybe somebody might recognize themselves.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I hope. Or do you think people who do that don't recognize themselves, Delia?
I mean, I think you can be funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always think funny is the way to go. You know, you can say, can I borrow your phone after you're done?
Oh, that's funny.
You know, if you say something funny to them in line, that might just, like, make them realize that you are standing behind them. I need to make a call, too, or can I answer that text for you? Or, I mean, I just think... part of what this book is about is hitting it that way.
I saw a guy who was doing videos, funny videos, and what his gig was to go be around somebody who was talking loudly on their cell phone in public, and then he would be on one, but not really having a conversation, but responding to what they were saying. So then they would overhear him kind of responding to what they were saying to whoever they're talking to. It was really quite funny.
It does depend on your mood when you're going along, and you know, you can be sort of really tolerant of that, or you can just get full of so much. You can find yourself with this displaced rage on that sort of thing, and also you end up hear the strangest conversations. You hear people break up with their boyfriends. You hear what I mean. Mm-hmm. There's all this private has become public, and I also think that's not that what's private. I mean, I try to teach things about privacy and respect. Because I think when you get older, those things really begin to matter.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Delia Ephron, who is the author of Do I Have to Say Hello? Aunt Delia's Manners Quiz for Kids and Their Grown-Ups. It's a guide to manners. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming any manner pet peeves you want to share. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And when I say it's a guide, it is a guide, but it's done as a quiz and some really very funny illustrations as well. Jim in Holman is with us now. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. A pet peeve of mine is when I go into a nice restaurant, not just any cafe, but a really nice restaurant, and some guy, usually a man, is wearing a hat. I was always taught that you should take your hat off if you're in a house or especially in a nice restaurant. So that just drives me crazy.
Yeah, baseball caps usually, right, Jim?
Oh, yeah, baseball caps or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, if you walk into my sister-in-law's house and you're wearing a hat, you better take that hat off within 60 seconds. Otherwise, she'll come over and yank it right off your head.
There's an option, Delia.
Okay, that's a little nice touch there. I don't think that's interesting. Maybe that's a difference between, I've noticed men in hats everywhere now. I really have noticed that.
Yeah. Might this be a case where some things that were good manners or 25 years ago it doesn't matter anymore?
Well, I kind of think so, but I do think we grow up with certain ideas end up being really important to us, and that's probably one for you, Jim. But it isn't something that ever, it's not like someone texting at the checkout counter for me. I mean, if a guy's got a hat on, maybe he looks cuter.
Yeah, I think some of the...
And that's probably why he's wearing it.
Yeah, he's afraid. Here's my theory, Delia, is that he's losing his hair, and he doesn't want to, he's self-conscious about that.
Yeah, right. Well... Yeah, right. But your sister's not too sympathetic to that.
Yeah. Anything else, Jim?
No, just thanks, and I appreciate your show.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. What about you? Do you have a pet peeve when it comes to manners? Do you have how do you deal with a manners violation? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Next, we go to Rick in Milwaukee. Hello, Rick.
How you doing?
Good.
I love your show.
Well, thank you.
So it always gets my intellect going before I go to the office. So my daughter asked her great grandmother, who is 95, are more people have less manners now than when she was a little girl? And I thought her answer was interesting. She said, no, the people are the same. The technology is what's really changed. If you have good manners, you will have a better life and be more successful. And the people that have good manners will always be in the minority. So try to be in the minority.
Life is better if you have good manners, Aunt
Delia. Yeah, life is better, and I'm actually trying to make everyone in the majority here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think I just really think that if you can really make children laugh, you can change their lives, and that's, I think it's just a way to teach, especially something like this, which kids find boring or stifling. And I think that it's just so important. It really is important. It's important for when they grow up and they get married and they have friendships and that they know how to give compliments. And, you know, I cover all sorts of stuff like that and accepting compliments. People have so much trouble accepting compliments. Have you ever noticed that? They're always that's a nice blouse. Oh, it cost, then somebody will tell you how much it cost and where they got it. You know what
it's so old.
Thank you. Or, well, it's so old, though, this rag. Yeah, whatever. But, I mean, just saying thank you is very hard for people.
Well, let's talk a little bit about table manners. And you're not so concerned about the butter knife. You want to talk about having good dinner conversation, for example. What advice do you have for parents who want to engage their kids into thoughtful discussions around the dinner table?
Well, I grew up in a family where the dinner table was really important, and people say to me that it's not as common now for everyone to sit down together, and I do think that is important. And we just always had to tell a story about our day, or not have to, but we know what happened today, and we would always, if you come in from a big family, which I did, if you don't tell it well, someone cuts you off and pays no attention to you. So I learned very young how to tell a good story and how to tell it fast and quickly. And I always think there is that thing children do. I don't know. My nephews and nieces did it, and my stepson, and where how was the movie? And then they just start at the very beginning and they tell you every single thing till you like want to fall off your chair and fall asleep on the floor. And I think we have to like probably learn. You know, I think you have to teach, okay, tell me, you know, what was most interesting to you about the movie. Or I think there are ways for parents to get them to understand that the telling of a story is not, every single thing that happened to them is not the riveting thing.
Let's go to Patrick in Milwaukee now. Hello, Patrick.
Hello. I listen to your show as often as I can. I'm a truck driver, but I was just curious if it's bad manners or if it's just the selfishness of people these days, where you go into a busy coffee shop, you look around, and there's people tying up a table for four while they sit and do their homework, drinking one cup of coffee while everyone's standing around. Have you noticed that ever?
Well, I do, in fact, notice that. But Aunt Delia?
Well, I think there are places where that's sort of welcome, and not to block up a whole four table. That seems very inconsiderate. But that's the, you know, that's really the place has to take care of that, don't they? I mean, isn't that something you sort of would talk to the manager about or something? I think there are places like coffee shops where it's kind of fun. You can leave your house and take your computer and do work, and you don't have to be at home alone. I think there are the appropriate cafes to do that in, and the wrong ones. And this coffee shop, which obviously is a place where you go to have lunch, is just, that's not the place.
Yeah, Patrick, have you ever thought of? And I'm just wondering, have you ever thought, hey, do you mind if I join you? Or would that be too weird?
I've actually done that, yeah. Hey, you mind if I sit with you?
And what did they say?
Some people just look at me like I'm crazy. but I'm thinking about going to a coffee shop that's close by, squeezing about six tables together, ordering one cup of iced water, sitting down and starting to hold my lunch. I think maybe someone would say, hey, buddy, you can't do that here.
Right, but I think Adelia has a good point. Maybe you could mention something to the management of the restaurant. I know sometimes coffee shops have a limit on how long you can occupy a table. You can't be there all day long. But good luck, Patrick. Thanks for listening, and keep on trucking. We have news coming up next from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about manners today and how to teach kids manners today. We are talking with Delia Efron, who has updated her book, Do I Have to Say Hello? Aunt Delia's Manners Quiz for Kids and Their Grown-Ups. It was first published 25 years ago. Now it is updated, including manners with video games and the internet and soccer and other things that are different now. And we're welcoming your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or your manner pet peeves. Send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll check news, and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Won't you be kind and considerate in everything you do?
We're talking about manners this hour with the author of Do I Have to Say Hello? Delia Ephron is a screenwriter and novelist and author of books of humor. And we are talking about this updated book on manners. It's Aunt Delia's Manners Quiz for kids and their grown-ups. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a manner pet peeve you'd like to share or a question for Delia, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, Delia, I'm surprised this hasn't come up yet with our callers. It's my pet peeve, so I'll share it. The one thing that I do notice that is different today than it was even 10 years ago, nobody, kids included, write thank you notes anymore, or even, I mean, I don't even need a formal handwritten thank you note. Even a text or an email saying thank you would be nice every once in a while. What do you think?
I actually have a chapter. I kept my chapter on thank you notes, and it has four really funny, horrible thank you notes and one very lovely, polite thank you note in it. And I believe that with children, it's very important to teach them to take a moment to sit down and thank someone for a present they're given, or to express a feeling if somebody has lost a relative, or if something has happened to someone. I think teaching children to take a moment to think about another person, and to actually write, "Dear so and so, thank you for giving me that," you know, Pokemon set, because, you know, it's a big thing to buy a present and to wrap it and give it, and you should respect it back. I also think that there is a time in life when you really can write a thoughtful email. I'm not against emails or anything as adults. I think if you just write, "Sorry, you broke your leg, stuff happens," that's not acceptable, okay? But if you actually take the time to write, "I heard, you know, that you broke your leg last week, and I'm really sorry to hear that, and I hope you're okay," and, you know, and you send over some chocolates or something, then, you know, I think it's okay to do an email. I'm not against them, but I absolutely believe children need to write thank you notes.
Yeah, and how does a parent teach a child the art of writing a good thank you note?
Well, they buy the Aunt Delia's Manners Quiz, Do I Have to Say Hello?
Okay.
And it's right in there, and then the kid will laugh, and that's the easiest way to do it as far as I can see. But you see, you know, you make a list of their Christmas presents, and after Christmas, I mean, so it's coming up right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they sit down and they write thank yous to the people that gave them presents.
Let's go.
Take a day. You know, this is the day we write thank you notes.
Let's take a call from Richard in Loganville. Hello, Richard.
Hello. Nice show, you two.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I was, the other day, I was called up by a friend of mine who's an Amish fellow and really nice guy. He works with my wife, which is unusual, and he needed for me to drive his wife to a doctor's appointment. And I go, "Oh, okay, I can do that." So he calls me then at the afternoon, 1:30. We got to be there by 2:30. Okay, so I get there, and it turns out she gets in the car, and then we have to go stop somewhere else to pick up somebody else, and then stop somewhere. So we had three girls in the car, and his wife and two girls. We get to the doctor's appointment, and we have to go to a store and another store and the print shop and back to the print shop because they forgot.
Richard, I don't mean to be rude.
I'll get to the point. They all start talking in Dutch amongst themselves, and I'm driving in the car going, "Well, what's going on? It would be nice if they said something." So they're going off like crazy, and I thought that was kind of rude.
So, speaking in a different language when you're in mixed company, I don't know. Any thoughts on that, Delia?
But it is obviously not polite. Mm-hmm. And I think the only thing you can really do is the next time just say you can't do it. I mean, that's all I can figure out. Because you felt taken advantage of, and it sounds like you were, but it's really not a friendly thing to do. And it's a thing that really kids have to learn much younger, which is that when they're playing in a group, they need to include friends. They can't be rude to other kids. And, you know, I've tried to get into all that in my playground manners thing. And obviously, these people you were in the car with did not have good playground manners.
There we go. Let's go to Jessica in New Berlin. Hello, Jessica.
Good morning. I was just wondering, I drive between Milwaukee and Madison every day, and there are quite a few rude people on the road. I was wondering if this book addressed driving etiquette.
Oh, I do have a whole chapter on kids in the car. I mean, riding with Uncle Jerry and Aunt Delia and how to behave, you know, in the back seat where they're like, you get off my side and all that stuff. I have a whole thing about riding in cars. Yeah. I do not deal with adult behavior on the road. That is a whole other thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not polite to give somebody the middle finger salute. How's that?
Well, yes, that is so true.
That is so true. But what about when is it okay for the kids to ask? When are we going to get there?
That is absolutely in my book. Are we there yet? This endless lament. No, I have a number of other things that you might want to say instead. But and you cannot throw your juice box out the window. You know, juice boxes and grass do not look pretty together.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things like that. But actually, a friend of mine said to me that she lets her kids get bored in the car, that she always thinks parents are sort of having them do too many things, you know, keeping them busy all the time. Oh, use your iPad, look at your iPad, here's a video game. She said something about being in the car is where you're kind of supposed to be bored. And I think that's really true, that we need to let our kids be bored because that's where you use your imagination.
That's a good point. But there's also the alphabet road game, though. Do kids still play that today? You know, where you have to, you know, go through the alphabet and find something along the roadside that starts with that letter?
Yeah, I love that game, and I also love the game out of state, you know, where you look for license plates that are out of state. And
mm-hmm.
Well, I actually think the car is a great place for family games.
Yeah, and that is a fun.
And it's a way for everyone to have fun together. Also, we used to sing songs all the time in the car with our parents, which I think is really fun.
Yeah, I do too. Paula in Racine is with us. Hi, Paula. Paula's not there, so I'm going to move on. We have Jody on Facebook who says, so many people you meet on a walking path when nobody else is around, just the two of you are walking by each other, and they will not say hello, not even give you a look or even a smile. I think that feels rude and cold. Yeah, that is kind of strange. So do we have to say hello when we're walking by someone?
On a hike. Oh, that's such an interesting question. Do they have earbuds in, perhaps? Are they listening to music? Are they communing with nature? I mean, maybe they have a whole little agenda going on.
Yeah, they could, but you know.
Do I have to say hello? Yes, when you're taking a child to somebody's house for dinner, but you don't. I don't know if you're on a hike if you have to say hello. I'm on the fence on that one.
Yeah, I think it. I guess it's a part of my nature. Not that I'm always cheerful. Maybe once in a while I might not acknowledge someone's presence, but I have learned that if you do just give a little smile and a nod, sometimes it makes their day. You know, it's just
that's
being
true. It's a very sweet thing to do. There's no reason not to. That's the thing. It's easy to be polite. It's just as easy to be polite.
Yeah. Lynn on Facebook says, my pet peeve is when adults are walking with their children, and instead of walking with their parents, children run ahead at full speed, whirl and twirl, and run backwards. I have been tripped, pushed over, and almost shoved down an escalator. In public places, why can't children be responsible for their own bodies? They knock you down and keep going. The parents don't seem to notice or offer you any help or apologize. So, what about that?
I mean... Yes, that's why I wrote my book. I think we need to be more civil all the time. And some parents advocate. And this is a really fun way to get everybody in the family to think about what it means to be polite. I completely agree. I mean, I was in the grocery store the other day, and I was almost run over by one of those kids on a scooter in the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I just wondered why that parent wasn't thinking about somebody else. Or I've been in a restaurant where kids run, a nice restaurant, you know, where kids are running. And I've had the same experience. But, that's why I updated my book. Because I want everybody to, I want kids to really laugh, and I want them to learn how we should all treat each other better.
Yeah, so how can we help our kids have proper restaurant manners?
Again, there's a whole chapter on restaurant manners, and that's how I'm planning to teach it. You know, this is something I've taken on. You have to learn to order. You have to say, if you want to go to the bathroom, you have to say, excuse me, where is the restroom, please? Not, where's the toilet, I got to go? I mean, there's all sorts of things we have to learn in restaurants, and I think it will make everyone's life better, their whole life.
Well, Delia, we just have a minute or so to go. Are you hopeful that you are going to be able to, turn the tide of declining manners in society?
Oh, yes, I'm planning to change the world. There is no doubt about it in my head.
And laughter is the best way to do that. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Delia Ephron is a novelist, a screenwriter, author of Do I Have to Say Hello? Aunt Delia's Manners Quiz for Kids and Their Grown-Ups. We concentrated on the manners book, but we could have talked to Delia about writing screenplays for things like The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants and You've Got Mail, among others. Her journalism work has also appeared frequently in the New York Times and in Vogue and Vanity Fair. Well, thanks very much to Marika Suval for producing this hour. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air production and direction. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Stay with us as we will review some of the most recent developments on the campaign trail, including the GOP presidential debate in Milwaukee. And then tomorrow at this time, it's Tell Joy Where to Go, and we will talk with a guest about how to make the best of these late fall weekends. Some late fall getaways coming up tomorrow on Tell Joy Where to Go. Everything you do, every little